Yes, indeed. Hour three of J. Martin and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. I am not Jason Martin. Jason Martin is the new proud father of daughter Clara Grace Martin. 6 pounds, 8 ounces, 8:26 p.m. last night. Ramon, your guy is a dad now.
He's a papa.
How about that?
Out here. He better not come in here playing Notorious B.I.G.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
No, Jason Martin, not doing that.
Wow. Congratulations to he and Abby. Beautiful baby. You can see those pictures on Twitter at J. Martin Ramon, at Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports. As Jonathan Schaefer certainly is making the show happen as the producer, as he normally does. You can find me on Twitter at RepB Tennessee. Got the draft in 2 weeks. Two weeks from tonight, big man.
Mm-hmm.
Names called, lives changed forever, and big teams time. Looking to make that push.
Yeah.
To get themselves to a Lombardi trophy, including the Tennessee Titans
draft,
right here.
Draft always a bittersweet thing for me, though, being undrafted. Though I enjoy the process of
sure,
it and enjoyed mine.
You're not as invested in it because of what happened to you, and I totally yeah. I understand that in the most possible way I can without being in your shoe.
Yeah, that was an interesting time. I might have to tell that story at some point. I'm actually writing that for I actually do work for a paper in Pittsburgh, too, for
okay.
DK. Pittsburgh Sports Online, and he asked me about that, and I had never really written about it.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about it a few times, but I told him, I was like, I might get him a
sore
feels
spot.
On. Yeah. And again, it goes to what we talked about, you know, on this baby watch with my kid. Like, here I was chasing my dream, and then my dream get cut on television, and not but because my name wasn't called, but that wasn't the end of my story,
no.
Rhett.
No,
red. So simulation, man. You want to go through this?
Yeah, let's
what?
Do this. So you said Pro Football Network, and I know that they have great site. They have a great mock draft simulator.
It's cool as heck, man.
There's three or four of these out here, and this one's a really good one because it offers trade scenarios. So it's mm-hmm. working on, you know, a predictive type algorithm. And you did a mock to see what we were talking about because we know – three quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3 in this thing. We know that five quarterbacks are going to go before the Titans ever pick at 22. So does it shove somebody down really good at pick 22, or does, you know, it increase the chance that the phone rings and John Robinson trades out? What happened in your mock draft?
I'm going to go fast real quick just simply because it was one trade. You guys would be intrigued by this trade, and there's a pick that is kind of lines up to where I would actually give my mock draft. Trevor Lawrence, 1, of course. Zach Wilson, 2. Cool. Justin Fields. I was going Justin Fields, 3, no matter what, to San Francisco. Bam. Cool. Trey Lance, 4, Atlanta.
So you got quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4, and in this mock for the first time in draft history.
Yes,
never happened before.
Crazy, okay? Our guy. Get his guy in Atlanta, man. Look at him. Arthur Smith, okay. Rashawn Slater, tackle, going to the Bengals. This is one that kind of tricked me a little bit. It's Penei Sewell. They flipped him. I happen they go on a Cincy, but of course they talk about maturity.
Yep.
Is an issue for him. Jalen Waddle, first wide receiver off the board to Detroit.
Before Jamar Chase.
Yes,
interesting.
Before Jamar Chase. Maybe missing that year. I don't know, but Waddle was hurt.
Yeah.
Either way, you can't miss. Okay? I don't think with either one of these guys. J.C. Horn to Carolina. Fifth quarterback, Mac Jones, Denver. I don't know how Jason going to feel about that.
And doesn't surprise me that because I don't think they're happy with Drew Lock at all.
No, I don't think so. Patrick Surtain to Dallas. Michael Parsons, New York Giants. Jamar Chase to Philly. Interesting. Kyle Pitts, 13 to the Chargers. I can see that. They have a love affair with tight ends out there. They've had a legendary one. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker.
Notre Dame
going to Minnesota. 15. Christian Darrisaw, old tackle Virginia, going to the Patriots. Azeez Ojulari, going to the Cardinals. Greg Newsom, the second cornerback, going to the Raiders. Devontae Smith, 18, going to Miami. Tevin Jenkins, old tackle, going to Washington Football Club. Christian Barmore, 20, to the D tackle, going to the Bears. Najee, 21, going to the Colts. There was a trade made. It is. Between the Cleveland Browns and the Tennessee Titans at 22.
So they trade to 26.
They trade to 26. At that pick, the Browns pick Quiddy Payne, edge rusher from Michigan. This trade involved Cleveland getting the 22nd pick, the Titans picking up the 27th pick, and the 91st pick.
Okay.
And a lot of people assume that the Titans will try to trade back. So you pick up another, what is that, second round or early third at 91?
Early third, because you've early got, third. Yeah, so you have now have three, in this mock, you have three third-round picks. You got 85, 91, and 100.
Yes. So to continue on, the guard out of USC, Elijah Vera Tucker, to the Jets, the Steelers pick up Travis Etienne. 25, Jamin Davis, linebacker going to Jacksonville.
Kentucky, yeah.
26 pick, Zaven Collins, linebacker Tulsa, is what they simulated him to get.
And I tell you, Coach Dave McGinnis and I really, really like this guy as a pick. Now, yeah, you know, whether this happens or not, we'll see. But he is from this little bitty town called Hominy, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And a tiny town. In fact, there's an Indian reservation nearby, a lot of Native American folks there, and just never really got on people's radar. And so he ends up playing for Tulsa. Mm-hmm. He was a high school quarterback, played both sides of the ball. Very athletic linebacker. He's 6'4", 250, 260.
Big guy. Reminds you of the linebacker from Dallas.
Vander Esch. I'm sorry. Yeah, Leighton Vander Esch.
Vander Esch. He reminds me of him almost, man. Big linebacker. Tall linebacker. 6'4". And again, I watched his profile during, what was it, bowl season. Kid is a playmaker. Kid is humble.
A 96-yard pick six in a game. He got a couple of pick sixes.
Playmaker. So, again, this draft has him, the Titans going from 22 to 26, picking up the 91st pick also. Zaven Collins.
I wouldn't hate getting Zaven Collins, and I wouldn't hate going now having picks at 53, 85, 91, and 100. Sign me up. I'd be fine with that.
Options.
Because Zaven Collins is a versatile enough defensive player. I could see him easily being a New England Patriot. That's the kind of – he's a Dante Hightower.
Dante Gerard Mayo type.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, 100%.
So,
I agree with that.
You know, and that's a name you're going to hear a couple of weeks from now in this draft, is Zaven Collins is a very athletic and like I said, former high school quarterback. So
smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. And he's one of the ones – and I'd have to look and see the last time there was a player drafted from Tulsa. And that's the other thing that's intriguing to me in the draft, Ramon, is guys getting a chance from small schools.
Yeah.
Last night on Draft Talk with Coach Mack, I talked about a guy, a day three wide receiver named Jalen Darden from North Texas, part of the Mean Green.
Yeah.
And had a player drafted there in 17 years.
Goodness gracious.
He had his pro day. He had 29 teams represented there in scouts. I mean, and dude is tiny now. He's 5'7", 185 pounds, benched 225 11 times.
I saw.
Got a 36-inch vertical leap, got a three-cone drill of 6.6 seconds. So he's got the short area quicks, right? The explosion.
This goes into?
And he's a two-year punt returner and has an 81-yard punt return for a touchdown. He had, as a wide receiver, over 1,100 yards and 19 touchdowns in only 9 games in his last year at North Texas.
He's got so many things on that resume that you just read off that says this guy can play ball. Screw the size.
And if you're a small school guy in day three, how do you get in the league? Special teams. He's a two-year punt returner.
You know what's another thing? Bingo. You talk about the amount of catches he has.
Oh, gosh. He's
ridiculous. A possession guy. Again, I go back to my reference is one team because I play for one team. And you guys got to understand that. But being around for that long, you hear a bunch of different conversations. Rhett, the same as you. There's so much stuff and knowledge I'm sure you've taken in from just being around the organization. Mm-hmm. Like, there's conversation that I had. Why did you take Antonio Brown in the sixth round? Why did you take Emmanuel Sanders? Well, when we looked at their tape, they caught a lot of balls. They always were the playmakers for the team. So you put them in a different setting. In a more competitive situation, they're going to rise to the occasion. This kid you're talking about from North Texas, he's going to be that type of guy, man.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. That's why it's 21 scouts at his pro day.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's the stuff I love is the stories and the storylines going into all this. These young men, I mean, imagine getting your name called and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to go play ball.
Yeah.
Now, coming up on J. Martin Ramon, we're going to see who's going to show up to play off-season ball. As we get into a lot of topics with NFLPA Assistant Executive Director of Eternal Affairs, George Atala. And George will join us here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about the new TV deal. We're going to talk about these off-season opt-outs and lots more. It's all ahead on J. Martin Ramon. It's on 104.5 The Zone. Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, it is J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Brad Bryan filling in for Jason Martin, the new dad of Clara Grace Martin. Congratulations to he and Abby. Ramon, we have a very special guest right now as we get into some serious NFL talk.
We
are with NFLPA Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs, George Atala. George, thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
My pleasure to be with you guys. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Good, George. How are you this morning, man?
I'm doing okay. You know, spring is a really nice time here in the D.C. area, and the girls, my daughters, are finally back in person learning. So it's a pretty exciting time to feel like we're getting out of the woods here.
Exciting time and busy time for you, George. It's two things the spring represent. It represents the start of football, and I guess this year your kids being back in school. So the football side of what's going on here, George, these opt-outs from teams. And I guess the question we have, and I know a lot of the fan base has here too, is, well, I thought OTAs was an optional thing. So why is there a vote from teams to kind of opt out also? What is the mindset, the process of moving through this, George, as we get into the business of the NFLPA and the NFL?
Yeah, I think you're seeing teams make decisions because it's unprecedented that players are essentially taking matters into their own hands on voluntary workouts. I think last year showed that we could have a successful season without any of the off season. I mean, most of the off season last year up until training camp was virtual. Obviously, the pandemic impacted how we did our business last year, but it not only showed that we could play a successful season, but there were actually benefits to the players from not having an off season. Concussions were down, soft tissue injuries were down, missed time injuries were down. And so when you look at the data that we had from last year, players came to the table this year, told the NFL that we're still in the pandemic. We are obviously in a much better place in terms of outlook, but the data still shows that there are communities and cities that are having higher and increasing rates of infection than we did last time this year. And we should have a virtual off season at least through mini camps. And the league came back and said, nope, we're going to start. So I think you're seeing players look at all of those dynamics and say, we're not going to go.
We're with George Atala of the NFLPA. George, when the collective bargaining agreement was bargained back in 2011, you guys fought to make the off-season workouts voluntary so that players could make the best decisions for their health and safety. That's always top of mind what you're trying to do. With the pandemic and where everything went in 2020 and going to a virtual off-season, did you see another incremental decrease in missed time and injuries?
We did see decrease in injuries. And one thing we have to respect and appreciate is every player's situation is different. Mm-hmm. So to be clear, this is not a union organized boycott. Okay. This is something that we've heard from the players that they want to take matters into their own hands. And I personally have been on a number of conversations with players across the league. Some players, as have been reported, have had their own calls to talk about what they want to do, and this is purely, you know, from locker room to locker room, each team has their own set of issues that they're grappling with. Some players across the league have workout bonuses. That's been reported. For those players, by all means, go collect that check. Some players are rehabbing from injuries, and the only place they have to go work out is the team facility. By all means, go take care of your body and heal up and get better. But for players in a different situation, they are realizing that they don't need these workouts to get their bodies right for the season. And in fact, they could protect themselves not just from soft tissue injuries and missed time injuries and the like, but from a serious threat of COVID that still exists.
When it comes down to, you know, this, the teams that are voting right now, the current teams, guys currently in the NFL, George, and I guess the question goes to, let's say, let's play devil's advocate here. The vets, guys, I mean, after 1 year, you're a vet for the most part. I mean, some might not act like it, but that's where we are. Okay? That's got to throw that out there, Georgia. You know, like I know, former New York, and you're still in the union, okay? But it'll be some people that say it's a disadvantage for veteran players in the NFL to say, hey, I don't need an offseason. But what about the young guys coming in? Does this boycott actually work for the draft picks, the undrafted guys? I know the undrafted market last year, and I speak for that market because I was in it, was affected for the most part by the fact that coaches couldn't see guys and they couldn't get in the building, and maybe some of them didn't make opening day rosters. But what's to be said for those guys that probably want to come in, George, and their team has already voted to boycott? I mean, I just did a draft simulation, and Mac Jones is going to Denver, you know, as their draft pick. How is he supposed to learn as far as being a franchise quarterback if his team has already chosen to opt out of OTAs and everything else?
I think that's a great point. And what the union staff is telling players is each individual player has to make up their minds about what's best for him, which is why we go back to the initial point. This is not something that's driven by, you know, D or myself or Don or the staff.
Right.
This is something that's an organic movement from locker room to locker room. We've heard from players who've got new coaches who said, we want to get to know our coach. I think overall, the teams that have come out and said, you know, we're not going to show up to voluntary workouts, that was done with the issues that I raised earlier in our conversation in mind, right?
Yeah.
COVID's still a threat.
Yep.
We know players have gotten infected at the facilities in the last couple weeks. I mean, Jason Tatum, for crying out loud, is taking an inhaler before he plays in the NBA, and he got over COVID months ago.
Wow.
So this thing is still real, and each player has to make up his own mind. Our job, Ramon, from you know, our good relationship that we've had and from you being a rep,
right?
Let's make sure everybody has the right information to make an informed decision. That's the best we can do as a union staff.
If you're just joining us here on J. Martin Ramon, we are joined by NFLPA Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs, George Atala. George, with those thoughts in mind, is there discussions or thoughts down the road that even post-pandemic that you could go to at least a partially virtual offseason? Or maybe is that something that might be collectively bargained or talking about in the next deal way down the road?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think we have to look at our union is data-driven and is fact-driven, and that's why you've seen this movement so far. Once the information is in the hands of the players, I think they start to make make decisions based on what's in front of them. Voluntary workouts are voluntary, so this is not like, again, this is not a boycott of, you can't boycott something that you don't have to do in the first place.
Right.
So I think the players are starting to realize that, hey, maybe we should reimagine what the offseason looks like. Maybe we should look at what the calendar is in April and May. Why are we putting our bodies through organized team activities in May when we know that if we get hurt in May, that's actually a bigger risk of not making a roster than not showing up at all? That's what the data tells us. So we're data driven. We're fact driven. To your question about, you know, will things change in the future? They might, but what you're starting to see are players on clubs taking control of what they can control, and that's, we're not going to go.
Just on the business side of, you know, these decisions that are made by the players right now, there's a team in Green Bay that is known to do incentive-based contracts, by meaning you show up 80% of the time, 70% of the time, you'll get X amount of money.
Right.
What happens if that team votes to voluntarily boycott OTAs? Does the team have to honor that contract, or this is just a you versus a team situation and there is no fight to be made?
Well, the contract, Ramon, is what the contract is. So
right.
If a player has a workout bonus, and let's typically you have to show up to 75 or 80% of the workouts, and you don't show up to 75 to 80% of those workouts, you forfeit the workout bonus, mm-hmm. right? If a team like the Packers or the Bills or another team that are heavy on workout incentives, if those players who have workout bonuses show up, then they should collect that check. If the team votes that they're going to not go to voluntary workouts, then the players who have workout bonuses will probably still show to get their checks, and the players who don't won't.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked on Green Bay. I mean, that was a thing that Aaron Rodgers was really vocal about, as you know, during the CBA process, was getting rid of the offseason period. He's been very vocal about that. But the irony is, of course, as you just mentioned, the Packers are one of the teams that has the highest incentive-based structure for workout bonuses. So it really is about individual players making a decision, making an informed decision about what's best for them.
So you're saying the guys in Green Bay would rather be in Nashville in the offseason? Is that what you're saying, Joe?
This ain't a knock on Green Bay, but you tell me how many guys are in Miami or L.A. right now versus Green Bay. So.
Yes. I just had to ask, George. You were just beating around it. I was like, no, George, just say you'd rather not be in Green Bay, man.
I'm just telling you, man. I don't sugarcoat stuff, but every now and then you got to come up with another thoughtful explanation here.
NFLPA's George Atala with us here on J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone. George, let's shift gears for a second and talk about what is going on with you guys. And you know, Ramon started talking about the busy season for you, but with the 17th regular season game, and now the thought that the first bye week will actually be after the third preseason game, and then a regular bye week in the middle, you know, those things, and then the new television contracts that are on the forefront.
Yeah, the TV deals are great for players because we get a little more than half of them. So I was a little disappointed in some of the disingenuous coverage by some people who claim to be experts on sports business about, well, it's just a windfall for the owners. Well, it's not a windfall for the owners. We get more than half. And the 17th game was a decision that was voted on by our full membership a little over a year ago, where a majority of the players believed that they were getting enough to play a 17th game. Not just enough in terms of salaries and benefits, but other really important issues that rarely make the headlines as well. We vested 800 former players who had never been vested before. We increased the pensions of 10,000 former players who had not had pension increases in 10 years. We created an HRA for 4,000 former players who never had any type of health supplement before. So those are all issues that may miss the NFL fan who, you know, care about wins and losses and how their team is doing. But for the union, it's our job to really look at the big picture, look at all of the other issues that go into a CBA, mm-hmm. and put the issues before the membership for a vote. And the 17th game was decided by a majority of the players, even though it was unpopular by a lot of players, that it was enough for them to play. And here we are. So that's really the thinking behind how we come up with certain things.
So, see, George, now this is a George that I was wanting on this call. Okay?
Okay.
When Rhett asked you that question, you came out like Tupac on Hit 'Em Up when he was taking shots at Biggie. Okay? That's the George that I want because, again, the business between the NFL and NFLPA is dicey at times. It's spicy at times. It's a beef.
It's a moving target, right?
It's a moving target at all times. So, to your point when you said the experts covering the 17th game as if the players just got hosed, and there's always conversation, George, and now I'm on the other side of it as being a player. I mean, being a former player, so I can speak a little bit more openly about it, but I want you, George, to speak on the fact that some people cover the NFL and this deal as if the guys are, we got hosed. We were taken advantage of. And they always compare us to the NBA or MLB that says that, well, they got guaranteed contracts and you guys get nothing. What does this deal do for the league, the players, the former players, the guys that come into this league that get an opportunity to maximize their earnings on a game that takes so much from them. If you could explain, I guess, as quick as you can, the differences between NBA, MLB, and what our deal is with the CBA right now, because there is no clarity from the mass media other than the guys got hosed by adding one game.
Yeah, that makes no sense, because what we did was trade them. We made them pay for one game with all of the things that I just mentioned. Players get a bigger percentage of the revenue, more former player benefits, better pensions, more. I know we started off the conversation by talking about voluntary workouts, but as soon as the league opted to go to 17 games, the offseason was reduced even further. The regular season practice time was reduced even further. I mean, those are just highlights of some of the things that players earned in bargaining over one issue that the owners really wanted, which is 17 games. So the difference, I think, is tough when you go into other sports, because it's just a different structure, right? Like, mm-hmm. We have 53, 60 guys active on a roster at any point during the year. NBA guys got 12, 13, 14. So, of course, just by sheer math, the numbers are going to be different in terms of salaries. And I think you see, you know, once you peel back even one layer, you can see that we just have a different structure and we have to negotiate on different things, right? Mm-hmm. Baseball players don't necessarily have all the health and safety risks that football players do. So we have to fight to negotiate for time off, for concussion protocols, for better benefits, for workers' comp, right on down the line. And again, those are things that don't often make the headlines. And it makes my head explode because, again, the narrative is, oh, they just got hosed because the league just imposed a 17th game. Well, just take one step beyond that and look at what the players earned in bargaining as a result. Some people may come to the conclusion it's not enough, and that's okay. But don't make it seem so one-sided that we got nothing for it.
Yeah. And that's where I was too. And just speaking about benefits as a whole, I learned recently that for an MLB player to get vested, it's 10 years as opposed to an NFL. It's three and three games.
It's three and three games. Yeah. So it is different. It is different. And nobody has guaranteed contracts. The other one that comes up, Ramon, as you know, is all guaranteed contracts. Nobody has guaranteed contracts in their CBA.
Yeah.
It's up to the players and the agents to go get it. So, guys, go get it.
Yeah, that's the agent and team situation is what you're saying. The first guy to do that was Kirk Cousins as of recently.
And recently it was Kirk, and our hope is that more players follow suit. But again, it's not in the MLB CBA. It's not in the NBA CBA that guaranteed contracts are custom. It's not in ours either. It's just a matter of how those individual players used leverage, and then the players who came after them used that guaranteed contract as an example to do theirs.
George, man, we appreciate your time and your information that you gave to us on J. Martin Ramon, man. I know you're a busy guy this time of the year, man. Stay safe, and you're welcome back anytime that you choose to, George, man. We appreciate your time this morning.
I appreciate you guys very much, and thanks for having me on. I'm glad I got spicy there for me.
You did, man. Don't ever come back here beating around the bush, George.
Thanks for being on. That was great. Thank you very much. NFLPA Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs, George Atala, and he is a man to know for sure. It's good to know people in high places. You pulled out the Rolodex. That's great.
We get answers that way, man.
Better believe it. And we're going to pull out the Rolodex again at 9:20 in Hour 4. Your former teammate and ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark is on the way. But next, we wrap up Hour 3 of J. Martin Ramon. It's right here on 104.5 The Zone. Wrapping up Hour 3 of J. Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. When trust matters, you can count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more. That's a jam right there, ain't it?
It is. We rolled that song all the way to the Super Bowl. No lie. We're going to talk about it at some point, Rhett, because you, me and you, you and me again tomorrow. That's Windows, right. Super Bowl runs. Mm-hmm. When Wiz dropped this song, I don't know if he'll ever admit it or what, but us winning and going to the Super Bowl had to push that song over the top, like platinum set, like status, like really, really fast, man. It's crazy. Dallas, man. The Super Bowl run, Rhett, listeners, nothing like it. I think the NBA Finals is awesome. If Ron was up here right now, he'd probably fight me by saying it, okay? I think the NBA Finals is awesome. March Madness is just sports at its purest, okay? But the Super Bowl.
It's what I say all the time, Ramon. Soccer rules the world. Football rules North America.
Rhett, it is an event.
I've been to one, Super Bowl 34 with the Titans. Now, obviously, I didn't play in it, but, yeah, there's so much pomp and circumstance. Anyone who is anyone is there. You're liable to see the most famous person you've ever seen in your life at the Super Bowl.
You will. I'm sitting next to John Gruden. Who was it else that was at dinner? Me and Marquise went to dinner somewhere, and it was John Gruden, and it wasn't John Madden, anybody. Who was it, man? But we're sitting there next to them, and in a random Fort Worth, Texas, like, steakhouse, and here just anybody who's everybody is around, and you hear about all the people that stay at your hotel or at the hotel down the street, this artist, that artist, this athlete, that athlete, just world people were just, you want it. I would love for Nashville to be able to host one at some time down the line, you know, but.
I have a small experience story like that, and it's Super Bowl 34. Yeah. Staying at the Titans Hotel on Peachtree, which everything in the world in Atlanta is called Peachtree.
Peachtree. Yeah, it is.
But you would just run
past. Well, everything here is on Old Hickory.
Yeah, that's true. Old Hickory Boulevard starts out. You get on Old Hickory Boulevard.
Where?
Which one?
And then you turn onto Old Hickory Boulevard and then take another left onto Old Hickory Boulevard. And then you will end up at Old Hickory Boulevard, but somehow be south of where you started.
So I'm a young Cub reporter for Titans Radio, and I'm down in the lobby, and I'm interviewing some of the players' parents. It's neat to get that story, mm-hmm. that human interest story. Mm-hmm. And I think it was linebacker Terry Killens, who's now an official in the league.
Wow.
And I was talking to his parents, and I hear the world stop and people chattering, and you know somebody's walking through the room. And this is Madonna and Dennis Rodman dating.
Get out of here.
And I'm like, think about that. This is the Worm, and this is Madonna.
Peak. Steel.
I mean, this is, and you know, you're right. You see anybody who's, when I went to go get my credentials at the place, another hotel down the street, I'm going down the escalator to what is Radio Row, and I'm riding down the escalator. Deacon Jones is behind me asking me, where do I go to? And I said, sir, I think if you follow me.
Yes.
You know.
Happily.
Yeah.
Let me show you.
Longtime 60 Minutes reporter Andy Rooney is in front of me on the escalator. Yeah. I get to the bottom, and at this time, here's young Donovan McNabb making his rounds on Radio Row, just finishing his rookie season. And here's Joe Namath.
Wow.
And I'm like, it hits me. Okay, you kid from Murfreesboro in Rutherford County, you are at the Super Bowl.
You're here.
This is unbelievable.
Rhett, the entire experience of just people, even before we left Pittsburgh, the, what do you want to call them? The socialites, you know, before social media was actually a real thing in 2010, 2011, just watching them come around the facility, stop by, practice. We're in Pittsburgh. It's snow. You know, it's cold. Like, people just stopping by practice. You have, like, government officials just stopping by and just videos being sent in. Good luck. Good, you know, just all of this. And then it finally hits you when you land in the destination city of, man, this is the thing. This is it. This is everything that you want it to be, man. Like, I told you before, like, when we were talking about the London game, like, I'm a guy that just goes in the moment. I don't just really live in the moment, man. I look back on stuff. I'm like, man, I should have embraced this more.
Sure.
And I say I should have embraced it more.
That's a business trip. I don't care if it is London. That's a business trip for you.
Exactly. And the Super Bowl was still a business trip.
Well, of course it is, because if you don't win it, you're going to be.
Which I didn't. And you long for that race to get back to it again. And here I was, a young second-year guy, Rhett. okay, like, let's talk about it. Like, I'm second year going into the Super Bowl. And we'll have that conversation about the Titans and their windows, you know, about where I thought I was. Like, man, oh, we're going back. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my mindset. Little did I know we had the opportunity to, but door closes, window shuts, and you never go back again.
Yeah.
That's why when guys want to walk off into the sunset, your Ray Lewis types, your John Elway types, you know, that's peak, man, peak sports. And that event, though, and I know Nashville is basically like a Super Bowl city anyway.
They have enough hotel rooms now. I think they could host one, yeah.
I had somebody last night telling me of my kids' baseball game, yeah, I saw Larry Fitzgerald downtown Nashville. I'm like, doesn't surprise me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
Imagine the Super Bowl him times 100, honestly.
Right.
That's
In this same hotel, that same year at the Super Bowl, I going in the elevator just to go up to my room, I never knew who I was going to be riding with. One night it was Kenny Smith.
Wow.
From the NBA coverage and former Houston Rocket and him
World
and
champion.
Him and Kellen Winslow Sr.
Legend, Hall of Famer.
Like, what is going on
but
here?
That's the event, though.
But that's what it is.
But and it's even more now, though, Rhett. Like, even what
we're
Kansas
talking,
City
that was 22
and,
years ago.
Exactly, what Kansas City and Tampa went through last year. I know it still was a show. I saw the social media posts from people just having a ball from it, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, if your team's a part of it, Rhett, you get chills and like memories of just.
Absolutely. Hey, they threw a parade here downtown. They didn't win it.
You feel me?
I mean, like, it was amazing.
That window that we'll talk about, though, Rhett, what do the Titans got to do to continuously keep it on, keep it open is a conversation we got to have.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have that conversation at least tomorrow. And we'll go through positions of need they need in the draft for those final pieces. Ooh. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start hour four of J. Martin Ramon. We're going to have your former teammate and ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark coming up at 9:20. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a little. I did a mock draft. We're going to go through that next to start out hour four. It's J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.